Welcome to NTD News. I'm Tiffany Meyer. Here are today's top stories. The acting director of the U.S. National Intelligence speaking publicly for the first time about a whistleblower complaint made about the president. U.S. announces sanctions on Chinese entities it says are transporting oil from Iran. Beijing says it's opposed to the sanctions. The second longest-serving French president is dead at age 86. French citizens in shock. Hear what they have to say about his record as president. And Amazon unveils a range of new products, including new wearable tech with virtual assistant Alexa. Products include earbuds, glasses, and even an oven. Acting Director of National Intelligence Joseph McGuire this morning speaking publicly for the first time about a whistleblower complaint involving President Donald Trump.
During a House Intelligence Committee hearing, McGuire explained that talks between President Trump and Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky are subject to executive privilege and so couldn't be shared immediately with the committee.
It is not for me in the intelligence community to decide how the president conducts his foreign policy or his interaction with leaders of other countries, sir.
Shortly before midnight on Wednesday, Utah Representative Chris Stewart, a GOP member of the House Intelligence Committee, announced on Twitter that the whistleblower complaint had been declassified. The document was made available to members of House and Senate Intelligence Committees Wednesday. The complaint is in part related to a July phone call between Trump and Zelensky, in which Trump asked Zelensky to probe former Vice President Joe Biden for his role in getting a Ukrainian prosecutor fired.
People can reasonably ask why the Democrats are so determined to impeach this president when in just a year they'll have a chance. In fact, one Democratic congressman, one of the first to call for Trump's impeachment, gave us the answer when he said, quote, "I'm concerned that if we don't impeach the president, he will get reelected."
Both Trump and Zelensky have denied there was any pressure during the call, a transcript of which was released Wednesday morning. Following Thursday's hearing, McGuire will go behind closed doors to speak to the Senate Intelligence Panel.
And next, President Trump saying why he temporarily withheld military assistance meant for Ukraine.
President Trump said on Tuesday that Europe, rather than the U.S., should allocate more funds to support Ukraine. He's threatened to withhold aid again and said he would continue to withhold it until Europe and other nations contribute more.
Ukraine gets the most military aid from the United States. However, Zelensky downplayed the meeting with Trump during United Nations General Assembly. At the same time, he said he doesn't expect U.S. always help Ukraine, but he does expect U.S. continue to be supportive.
Earlier this week, U.S. President Donald Trump instructed his staff to postpone military aid meant for Ukraine before his July call to Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. At the same time, Vice President Mike Pence said the administration withheld the money for fear of corruption in Ukraine. Ukrainian economic security expert Anatoly Pinchek says President Trump's move was meant to leverage European countries rather than threaten the Ukraine that they'd stop sending aid.
A similar statement was made from Trump's lips regarding NATO funding when he said the U.S. gives a lot to NATO. But how much does Germany give? I would consider this as an element of pressure on European countries.
Major General Volodymyr Havrilov, defense attaché of Ukraine in the U.S. from 2015 to 2018, says the president is looking to invest more at home.
Trump would like a big contribution from European countries to ease the burden on the U.S., whose budget he would like to use to resolve domestic issues.
Trump said he released the funds after getting calls from people.
In Congress, both Republicans and Democrats support giving assistance to Ukraine. And each year, both parties vote for the allocation of resources to Ukraine.
According to the U.S. Department of Defense, Washington has supplied Kiev with $1.5 billion in military aid since 2014. Reporting by Anna Varava, NTD News, Kiev, Ukraine.
U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo announcing the U.S. will impose sanctions on some Chinese entities suspected of transporting oil from Iran. And today, Beijing responding it's not happy with the sanctions.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said Wednesday that U.S. will impose sanctions on some Chinese entities that it says is knowingly transporting oil from Iran, Washington's latest attempt to apply more pressure on Iran. China has been the biggest foreign buyer of Iran's oil and has close relations with Tehran. Last year, 6% of its crude oil came from Iran.
They love the idea of Iran being an isolated state where the Chinese can strike really advantageous deals because they're the only ones eager to deal with the Iranians.
The U.S. and Saudi Arabia say that Iran is behind the recent attack on Saudi oil production facilities. And though the Trump administration opted not to retaliate with military force, it did impose sanctions on the Iranian Central Bank and National Development Fund. France, Britain, and Germany issued a joint statement Monday supporting the U.S.'s position on the attacks.
The U.K. and France and Germany came out and said, we think the Iranians are responsible for the strike on the Saudi facilities. It's a sign that the world is beginning to come around.
All three countries are also signatories to the nuclear deal with Iran. President Trump said at the UN General Assembly meeting on Tuesday that no responsible government should subsidize Iran's bloodlust. He also called on all countries to increase pressure on Iran.
They can't stay with their old line, which is just go back to the old deal. That now the Iranians have done something bad enough that they're going to have to limit more than just the nuclear program.
Experts admitted that U.S. sanctions on Iran have been more effective than many expected, and Tehran's financial resources have dried up. Reporting by Kitty Wong, NTD News.
Meeting on the sidelines of the 74th session of the UN General Assembly, President Trump and Japan's Prime Minister Shinzo Abe announced the first stage of a new trade agreement between the two countries.
A new trade deal between Washington and Japan, the world's third largest economy, has been revealed after long, sometimes contentious negotiations. The deal would center on tariff cuts on agricultural and industrial goods, excluding automobiles, which would effectively be a victory for Trump, who has shied away from multilateral arrangements and instead focused on an America First policy.
Today, Japan will open new markets to approximately $7 billion in American agricultural products. Japanese tariffs will now be significantly lower or eliminated entirely for U.S. beef, pork, wheat, cheese, corn, wine, and so much more.
Trump called it a huge victory for America's farmers, ranchers, and growers, which he explained is very important to him. Abe agreed, saying the deal is a win-win for both nations, benefiting consumers, producers, and workers.
Former French President Jacques Chirac died today at the age of 86. He dominated French politics for decades and was France's second longest-serving leader.
Jacques Chirac dominated French politics in roles ranging from mayor of Paris to president of the nation. Chirac was president from 1995 to 2007. Following in the footsteps of earlier French president Charles de Gaulle, Chirac tried to elevate France's status as a player on the world stage. He was known for his opposition to the U.S.-led operation in Iraq in 2003. Parisians out for lunch or running errands at noontime were shocked at the news of his death.
He is a great president that all of France will mourn. We really appreciate his stay of 12 years at the Élysée Palace, and the Chirac couple is a couple that is part of our national heritage. I think he was a very bad president. I prefer not to say more. Because he was busy with foreign policy, and he was recognized for that. But for France, he didn't do the necessary reforms.
During his career, Chirac shifted political ideologies, for which he earned the nickname Chameleon Bonaparte. After entertaining communism and ultra-nationalism, he eventually settled on mainstream right-of-center politics. Another of his nicknames was Houdini, a reference to him managing to escape serious punishment despite the allegations of misuse of funds. NTD News.
A large fire broke out in the early hours today at a French factory in the northern port city of Rouen, France. The fire was in the factory of Lubrizol, a company that makes specialty chemicals, and started around 2:40 local time. There were no reported victims. Videos on social media show thick plumes of smoke that could be seen from miles away. Around 130 firefighters were called to fight the blaze. The prefecture said authorities shut down schools and daycare centers in the city and 12 nearby towns and advised residents living 0.3 miles from the factory to stay home. The Royal Australian Navy has begun its largest deployment of the year, with over 1,000 soldiers and officers bound for engagements across North and Southeast Asia.
The new air warfare destroyer HMAS Hobart departed from Sydney today, following it a 9-ship task group set to participate in bilateral and multilateral military activities. The commander of the task group said the deployment will demonstrate Navy's commitment to its partners and to regional security.
And we hope to build not only our officers' and sailors' capability, but also of our regional partners. So we're really looking forward to making this positive security commitment to the region.
It also marks the first overseas deployment for the new Aegis destroyer HMAS Hobart, which will lead the first task group to Japan for an international fleet review.
So the Aegis combat system is a world-class combat system which allows us to achieve depth of fire against all of the more sophisticated anti-ship missiles in the world. It's a revolutionary step forward for capability for our Navy, and Hobart is lucky to be the first one deployed within this region.
Ships in the task group will return home in December. NTD News.
China's military got a big boost today with its first amphibious assault ship. The ship was unveiled in Shanghai, according to the military. It's designed for island and coastal assaults. Analysts say the launch is yet another indication of China's growing military might. The U.S. and Japanese navies also operate amphibious assault ships in the Pacific. Up next, in Hong Kong, mobs beat people critical of the communist regime in multiple violent incidents. Hong Kong citizens want answers. That and more when we return. Hong Kong residents criticized Leader Carrie Lam today for curbing electoral freedoms. It's her first open dialogue session with the public.
In a town hall-like gathering, Lam met with 150 members of the community, with each participant given 3 minutes to express their views. Speaker after speaker accused her administration of ignoring public opinion. One woman called on Lam to resign, saying she was no longer fit to lead. "Listen, you're responsible for what happened in the protests. You must step down." Lam took notes but refused to set up an independent investigation into police conduct. Outside, crowds of protesters holding placards and chanting.
Finally, she comes out to speak to the people, but only 150 seats. How many seats are in there? More than 3,000. What are we asking for? Tens of thousands of us have come out and spoken out about our demands. Why only find 150 people to represent us?
We all think that our government did not know anything about the Hong Kong people, what we are fighting for, and what we want.
Local residents doubt dialogue with Lam will make any difference.
They wouldn't listen when 200,000 people marched in the streets. How would they listen to just 150 people? I think it's pointless.
Continuing brutal tactics deployed by Hong Kong police against protesters prompted a petition for U.S. Congress to pass the proposed Hong Kong Human Rights and Democracy Act into law. Bill H.R. 3289 was unanimously passed on Wednesday by the House Foreign Affairs and the Senate Foreign Relations Committees. Congress will soon vote when lawmakers return from a 2-week recess starting later this week. NTD News.
In Hong Kong, multiple violent attacks on people critical of the Communist Party have left locals in fear that the current white terror will escalate to red or bloody terror as China prepares to make the 70th anniversary of communist rule.
Liao Qiulan, a practitioner of the spiritual discipline Falun Gong, was attacked Tuesday by two men who used foot-long metal bars to hit her. She said she saw a third person filming the process from far away. The spiritual group Falun Gong is persecuted in mainland China. Also on Tuesday, a local pro-democracy lawmaker said he was dragged from his car, punched and kicked by a mob of three early in the morning, again with a fourth man filming. Legislator Roy Kwong has been vocal in the anti-extradition to China protests. He said the attacker is not a local, but from mainland China. He called the attack an alarming signal to the world and said Hong Kong is no longer a place with rule of law. And a female journalist from Apple Daily was attacked on Tuesday night. The journalist is known for her coverage of Hong Kong's pro-democracy protest. Falun Gong spokesperson, pro-democracy lawmakers, and Hong Kong's Journalist Association have condemned the violence committed against their people.
Many think the attacks are scare tactics to silence any pro-freedom or democracy voices from speaking out and to punish any critics or dissidents of the Chinese Communist regime.
It is very abnormal for the mob to film it. What would they use it for? Is it for personal entertainment? Or are they handing it in to someone to show that they have finished the task and to collect the fee? I think it's very abnormal. I think Lam Chuk Ting is right. I think this is an organized crime with a certain intention. From my experience, I think these are paid crimes. China has been known for tightening security before its annual October 1st military parades. With the ongoing trade war with the U.S. and the Hong Kong protests this year, the regime will reportedly implement wartime stability maintenance during its National Day displays. With reporting by Jeremy Sandberg, NTD News.
Up next, France prepares for Brexit, seeking to expedite customs checks on people and goods can flow smoothly from the UK. That and more after the break. Getting from London to Sydney may eventually be much quicker. The UK Space Agency says a hypersonic rocket engine could cut the trip by up to 80%. England-based Reaction Engine says its product will break the sound barrier. That's something that hasn't happened since Concorde was grounded in 2003. Reaction Engine successfully tested a pre-cooler earlier this year, simulating conditions at three times the speed of sound. The company is nearly finished with the construction of a test facility in Buckinghamshire, the eventual location for its first demonstration. With Brexit getting closer, hundreds of French customs agents conducted a life-size rehearsal for a no-deal Brexit scenario at the border with the UK.
Officers inspected customs documents and shipments while lorry drivers arriving from Britain went through screening procedures designed to ensure that the amounts of goods declared match the quantities aboard the vehicles. Every vehicle will come up to the booth, and we will do the Brexit test in real time with the customs documents. So right now, we're waiting for all the vehicles to arrive. The simulation aims to prevent long backups in both sides of the border between France and Britain, a hassle that could surface by October 31st if Britain withdraws from the European Union without a deal.
French customs is to recreate a frontier that had disappeared while respecting common rules of entry for both imports and exports, and to ensure maximal fluidity in order to allow international commerce to function normally.
The drill comes as France has been holding similar test runs for several months. French authorities have hired 700 new officers, including 270 officers in the Calais region, and spent 6 million euros to build new infrastructure at the port.
We are especially well prepared and feel confident.
NTD News.
After the Notre Dame Cathedral went up in flames, some areas of Paris are testing high for lead pollution. 4 months after the fire, Paris mayor started the decontamination of public places, beginning with schools. But the mayor's critics say it's too little, too late. NTD's David Vives has the story.
During the April fire, the smoke carried over 450 tons of lead from the cathedral's roof and spire and scattered it on streets and buildings nearby. A few hundred yards from the cathedral, a decontamination team is working in a school, part of a citywide process that started in early August. Mikhail Prestavone is the director of industrial operations at Seche, an international company that does decontamination. He was called in on Monday after tests showed a very high rate of lead contamination at the school. French safety guidelines say lead levels above 1,000 micrograms per square meter is dangerous for kids. In this courtyard, and on the third courtyard where we operate, we have a rate of 42,000 micrograms of lead per square meter. This isn't the only place where lead levels are high. At the tourist hotspot Place Saint-Michel, it's 20,000 micrograms of lead per square meter. Earlier this month, the New York Times published an investigation that pointed to the mayor as being at fault for not starting the cleanup before school started, despite doing lead tests a month after the fire.
The mayor's office said it was looking to national and regional agencies responsible for monitoring public health risks to take the lead. After media pressure, however, the mayor's office took action.
Jackie Bonma, the president of French Environmental Association Robin Debois, has been calling on the Paris mayor to take action since the Notre Dame fire happened. The Robin Debois Association filed a lawsuit on July 30th against the mayor's office for endangering the safety of the public. In our opinion, everything has been done to stifle the health issue. The decontamination operation came very late, very late. They didn't do it right away, so as to not interrupt the start of the school year. They didn't want us to talk about the problem. Some tests on Seine River's water also showed lead pollution. One after the other, Paris schools are now being decontaminated. Meanwhile, the government is recommending parents bring children under 7 to the doctor to monitor their lead levels.
Up next, contestants from around the world warming up for NTD's 5th International Piano Competition. They talk about their inspirations, that and more after the break. Amazon has unveiled its new Echo lineup. Now its virtual assistant Alexa isn't just for the home, it can also be worn.
Amazon's Echo line now includes Echo earbuds, frames, and even a ring, all with a mic and speaker built in. The earbuds cost $130 and last up to 5 hours, with an additional 20 hours of life from a charging case, which is included.
The crystal clear vocals, dynamic bass. We also work with Bose to incorporate Bose active noise reduction technology inside.
At $180, the Echo Frame smart glasses are part of Amazon's day one additions and are invite only. The ring is also invite only, while the rest can be pre-ordered. Other Echo items include a smart clock and even an oven, which can cook prepackaged food automatically by scanning it with the Alexa app. The new items are part of Amazon's hands-free Alexa experience. The new line was unveiled at the company's headquarters in Seattle on Wednesday.
Pianists from all around the world have come to New York for NTD's 5th annual International Piano Competition. Our reporter Xuwen Rong brings us the story from the contestants.
NTD's International Piano Competition attracts pianists from all around the world. Its mission is to preserve classical piano's 250-year legacy of music literature. Min Bui started to play piano when she was 6. Though she has competed in other contests, as soon as she heard about this one, she knew she wanted to take part.
Such competitions like the NTD International Piano Competition is very important, I think, to help people figure out their inner self, the inner culture, the plot and the tradition that flow in the vines. And I think
part of the reason she's participating is her love of Shinyun's orchestra. The competition offers an opportunity to perform a commissioned piece specially composed by Shinyun's performing arts artistic director for the semi-final.
In the 21st century, actually everything is so crowded and chaotic, but every time I listen to Shinyun music, it's actually very peaceful, it's calmed, and it's almost like observing another universe.
The repertoire focuses strictly on the Baroque, classical, and romantic periods.
For me, the music directly affects the human brain. And music of Bach, Baroque, romantic music is affect very different, very deeply.
I think it's very endearing for NTD to try and to preserve the traditional culture and to associate it with the modern society that we are in right now. So I think it's also kind of an invitation to look back inside and see where you came from.
The semi-final and final will be held in Baruch Performing Arts Center and will also be broadcast live on September 27th and 28th on NTD's website and Facebook page.
And that's all for NTD News today. Join us again tonight. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Tiffany Meyer.